Let's get our Bibles out and go to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. We're only going to look at two verses this morning, verse 10 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 10 and 11. Yeah, let's stand and honor God's word as we read it. This is only Sunday school, but that's fine. You notice I hesitated and looked because in most churches that stand during the reading, they go ahead and stand up. And I was watching, are they going to stand? And because I like that. I like to honor God's word. So thank you, young man, for that timely suggestion. Appreciate it. Look at verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to talk this morning for the next few moments about how to have really good days. How to have a good day. Don't you like it when you have a good day? Man, you come home and you're like, whoo! This was a good day. I enjoyed that day. Now, have you ever had a really bad day? Years ago, I pastored a church in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I was working at the church, and Julie called me that morning and said, oh, Kent, I forgot all about it. Today was the day that Andy, which was our oldest son, he was in kindergarten. It's their day to go see Gene the Pumpkin Man. It was right before Halloween. Now, I don't know, usually every community has a pumpkin man, you know, that you got to go out to the pumpkin patch and you got to pick out your Halloween jack-o'-lantern. And Gene the Pumpkin Man is the big one in Kalamazoo. He's got a big orange barn and he's got an orange tractor and he's got the pumpkins. And she said, I forgot all about it. I was supposed to go with him. Do you think you could drive out there and meet the buses and be with Andy at Gene the Pumpkin Man? And I said, yeah, I'll be happy to. So I drove out there and got there first, and all of a sudden those big buses started pulling in, and oh, Andy was so happy. Daddy was waiting for him at Gene the Pumpkin Man. And they got off the bus, and out in the front, when you got off the bus, Gene had some of these humongous pumpkins. Have you ever seen those? They're not even orange. They're kind of a pink color because they're so humongous. And all the kids got around the pumpkin, and I was there with them, and I said, you know what? Let's get down and see if we can pick up this pumpkin. I think we can do it. Let's see if we can pick it up. And all them kindergartners got around that pumpkin, and I squatted down, and we got down to lift that pumpkin, and when I squatted down, my pants ripped. From seam to shining seam. I was wearing a pair of black pants, and let me just say, I was not wearing black underwear. I had a problem. I first thought I need to get to my car and leave instantly, because I got a major situation. This is bad. And then it was really chilly, and I had kind of a sweater on. And I thought, well, you know, I could play that old game, you know, whoo, it's getting, you know, it's warm out here. And I took the sweater off and I tied it around my waist. Have you ever seen people do that? You know, and they tie the sweater, and it gave me a perfect little apron covering up my backside there. And so I thought, okay, I got that covered and I can stay now. And so we looking at the pumpkins. Well, now we're going to go on a hay ride. And Gene's got a big old hay wagon, and he's got a little aluminum ladder that leans up against against the hay wagon, and I'm helping the teachers and all these kids get in the hay wagon, and I finally get it all loaded, and I turn to get on the hay wagon, and I'm going up this little aluminum ladder, and I got right to the middle, and that thing buckled right underneath me. It snapped in two pieces, and I ran down and got on the tongue and jumped in there and sat down in the hay. And I waited for Gene, and here he come, doo-doo-doo. Whoa! Who broke my ladder? I've had this ladder for 15 years! And I'm like, it's a cheap one, too! He looked at me and laughed. He said, well, I guess I got to get a new ladder. I'm going to tell you, have you ever had a day like that where it just seemed like, man, it's one thing after another? Do I get any relief at all? It's easy to have bad days. But you know what? The Bible says here that if we really love life, we can see good days. And I hate to say it, but I meet more and more people that are just enduring life. They're not enjoying their life. They just are toughing it out. In fact, I meet so many people in the world today. They hate their job. They hate what they do. They hate the week. They live for the weekend so they can go out and party and inebriate themselves because they're so unhappy with the rest of their life that they live for Friday night. Saturday, that's the only thing they have going for them, and then they live to take that 2-week vacation and go somewhere, which is usually 2 weeks of partying and gambling and nothing good, because they don't have good days every day of their life. But the Bible says, you know what? We can have good days. And right here, Peter tells us how to have a good day. Four ways to have a good day. The first one is, look at verse 10. It says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You know what the first key to having a good day is? Watching your mouth. You know, our mouth gets us in a lot of trouble, doesn't it? There's so many people today, they don't have two good days. They don't have good days because they're grouchy all the time. They always are griping and moaning and a-groaning and griping and grouching. I see you senior saints that are here, and I love you senior saints. I'm glad you're out this morning. You're easy to pick out because your hair either turned white or it turned loose, one of the two. I can see you out there. And you know what? I know getting old isn't for sissies. But I find there's a tendency of older folks to become a little crotchety in their old age. They're mad all the time. And for some reason, you think you have a right. You know what? You're not going to have a good day if you're a crotchety old person. I see them come to church every Sunday. They show up and they're already mad at the young people. Look at them young girls. They're having babies like rabbits. I saw one of them bringing their kid into church and had a rubber plug in that kid's mouth. Tell you, when I was a mother, we didn't put a rubber plug in a kid's mouth. If he sucked his thumb, we painted it with poison. If he sucked it, he died. You senior saints, I love you to death, but go out, sweet. Let the last days of your life be sweet. And the place to start is with your mouth. And then you young people that are here, you teenagers. Oh, my word. You know, teenagers are the worst people in the world. You teenagers know there's a lot of preachers that don't like to preach at teenagers. Did you know that? They don't even like to preach at young people. Why? Because you're so intimidating. You're so critical. And the reason you're so critical, teenagers, is because you're critical of yourself. You know what I mean? I wish my hair was curly. I wish I had freckles. I wish I didn't have freckles. I wish I was tall. I wish I was short. You're so critical of yourself. And because you're so critical of yourself, you're critical of other people. And that's why you talk the way to do to your mom and your daddy. And that's why you shoot your mouth off to your friends. And guess what? You're going to have a lot of bad days until you can learn to control your mouth. I raised 5 kids. I know. I had 5 teenagers. And they learned to control their mouth with daddy and mama, or they would learn to be picking up their teeth. Because we didn't allow it around our house. But I see teenagers today with mouths on them. And why parents don't put an end to that real quick is beyond me. You're going to have bad days. But you know what? If you can learn, what does it say? If you can refrain your tongue from evil and that your lips speak no guile. You know the word guile there means cunning, crafty, deceit. You see, some people, they don't even open their mouth unless they can do it to cut somebody else down. That's what guile means. I'm being cunning. You know, it usually starts like this. Well, have you heard? This isn't gossip. This is a prayer request. And the truth be told, you're being very cunning. You're being very deceitful. And you're trying to shape a conversation, usually so that it will make you look better and make other people look worse. You're playing that game. Push them down pushes me up. And the truth be told, when you begin to play that game, you are going to have bad days, a lot of bad days. You want to have good days? Watch your mouth. Number 2, look at verse 11. It says, let him eschew evil. And the word eschew means to hate evil. Hate that which is evil. Now, if you're going to hate evil, the first thing that you got to do is you got to be able to identify evil. And that's a real problem in our world today. There's this big word that everybody's throwing around anymore, and it's the word tolerance. We should be more tolerant to everybody. If there's men that want to sleep with little children, we ought to be tolerant. If there is people that want to kill their parent, we ought to be more tolerant. If there are people that do not want to be married as a man and a wife and live in sin and homosexuality and lesbian, we're supposed to be tolerant. Well, you know what? The Bible says we are to obey the Word of God. And I'm like that old Arkansas preacher used to say, if it's in the Bible, I'm for it. If it ain't, I'm against it. You know what? If the Bible calls it sin, it's going to always be sin. I saw Rick Warren was on the Pierce Morgan show one night, the guy that took over for Larry King years ago. And Pierce said this to Rick Warren, the pastor in California. Well, you know, the Bible's a good book, but it just needs updating. And Rick Warren said, well, what, Pierce, what do you think needs to be updated? Well, like same-sex marriage. That needs to be updated. And I thought Rick Warren had a good answer. He said, well, Pierce, new does not make it true. And you know what? We live in a world today where there are new things, but they don't make them right, and it doesn't make them true. Now, I know that can be offensive to you, and I'm sorry about that. But you know what? If you are going to have good days, you need to hate evil. And to hate evil, you have got to know what is evil. And evil should not come from someone's opinion. It ought to come from the Word of God. If a Word of God says it's sin, you mark it down, take it to the bank, cash that check. It's sin. No ifs, ands, or buts. And you know what? We ought to hate evil because we ought to look around and see the results of evil. I mean, even I've been coming to Xenia enough that I've become Facebook friends with a lot of people in Xenia. And I got to be frank, there's a lot of wild stuff going on in Xenia. This is a rough little town, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not trying to offend you, but I mean, Satan is doing a Watusi in this town, I'll tell you. He is working people over. And I read about it on Facebook, and then I've noticed since I've been gone, y'all have even been in the national news a few times in Xenia with ungodliness and murder and killing and stuff like that. Well, you know what? You ought to wake up, Christian, and see how evil is destroying people. How it's destroying families and marriages and children. And we ought to, I hate evil because of look at what it's doing to people. And then thirdly, this ought to be the capper. We ought to hate evil because we ought to remember what it did to Jesus Christ. You see, the reason Jesus was nailed to an old rugged cross was not because he was a good teacher, not because he was a martyr for a cause. No, Jesus was nailed because of the sins of the world. And every sin drove a nail in his hand, and every sin put that spear in his side. And when we think of Jesus on the cross, we ought to hate evil. You want to have a good day? Hate evil. Thirdly, look at verse 11 again. And do good. Boy, this is simple preaching this morning, isn't it? This kind of reminds me of the old Nancy Reagan line. You remember when they asked Nancy Reagan about drugs? You remember her? She said, just say no! And, of course, the media laughed at her. It became a real big campaign, the Just Say No campaign. And, you know, Nancy Reagan was right on. Someone offer you drugs? Just say no. Well, guess what? You want to have a good day? Do good. Do good. You know, to do good, first, you have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. Because I truly believe the Holy Spirit of God wants us to do good all the time. The Holy Spirit is constantly wanting us to do things. In fact, some of you this morning, God's already spoken to your heart this morning through His Holy Spirit and said, you know, you need to do something. And you're like, well, I don't know if I can or not. You know what? When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, do it. You come to church and you look down at the far end of the aisle and you know that young couple, he got laid off of work 3 weeks ago and he's got three kids and a wife and he's not got any income, and the Holy Spirit says, you know, I wonder if they could use some groceries down at their house. You know, that's the Holy Spirit wanting you to do something good, and you don't need to pray about it. In fact, people starve to death while you're praying about it. If the Lord lays it on your heart through His Spirit, you just need to drive down to Walmart, buy $100 worth of groceries, and take them over and set them on their porch. You want to have a good day? Do something good. And be obedient to the Holy Spirit. When He tells you to do something good, do it. There's some of you, you'll even, you know, I should have called someone this morning and invited them to this revival. That was the Holy Spirit of God trying to get you to make a phone call, and you didn't do it. Do something good. Do something good. One writer said this: many know what is good. very few have the courage to do it. Wow. We know what's good. We don't have the courage to do it. I was pastoring a church in Borgert, Texas years ago. And if you've ever been out in the panhandle of Texas, that's Tornado Alley. And I know there's some experience of tornado and zinnia here too. But we have them almost every night in the month of May and early June. They come down out of the Rocky Mountains and those dry lines build. And it's a storm about every night in May. And I was pastoring in Borger, Texas. And Borger had a little suburb city called Fritch, Texas. And that night a tornado was bearing down on Borger. I was at home with the boys. And Julie was over at the church, and they were getting ready for vacation Bible school that summer. And they were painting some posters and things. And she called and she said, "Kent, the alarms are going off. They say a tornado is headed for Borger." I said, "Don't worry, I'll get the boys. I'll go next door, go down in the basement. The neighbor has a basement, and they always tell us to come over." I said, "You don't leave the church. You go down in the basement." We had a big, deep basement under our church. "Leave the doors of the church open so that all the neighborhood can come over there and get down in the basement with you." And they did. People came from all over, and we were happy to let people in when a tornado was coming. And the tornado came. It did not hit Borger, but it annihilated Fritch, Texas. It leveled Fritch, Texas. And then it got dark and started raining, and they announced that the state troopers had blocked off the highways into Fritch. No one was to go down there. They were afraid of looters and people getting injured in there, so no one was allowed. And so we went to bed. Got up Sunday morning. That was on a Saturday night. Got up Sunday morning. I sat up on the edge of the bed, and I'm kind of scratching and trying to wake up. And all of a sudden, Julie goes, "What are you going to do?" I said, "What do you mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to get up, get dressed, I'm going to go to church, and we're having church Sunday." She goes, "No, what are you going to do about Fritch?" I said, "Well, I don't know what to do about Fritch. They got FEMA, and they got the Red Cross, and I'm no expert on disasters. I don't know." She said, "It just seems like we're Christians, we ought to do something." Don't you hate it when your wife talks like that to you? God, you think you're the Holy Spirit. Made me mad. I got up and got dressed and just went straight to church. I didn't even eat breakfast. I'm sitting in my office. I'm like, "Do something. I don't know what to do." So I heard that they had a command center set up at the National Park headquarters down on Lake Meredith. So I just called the National Park headquarters. "Hello, this is Pastor York at Gateway Baptist, and I don't know, is there something we could do?" "Yeah, hold on, Pastor York, I will patch you through to the commander." The commander comes on. I go, "Well, hello, this is Pastor York at Gateway Baptist." "Oh, Pastor, I'm so glad you called." I said, "Well, I don't know, but is there anything we can do?" "Yes, there is something you can do. These people need something for dinner. Could you feed dinner to Fritch, Texas?" I said, "How many people are we talking about?" He said, 3,000. I said, "What kind of dinner do you want?" He said, "These people, they need a sandwich, a bag of chips, a cookie, a cold bottle of water, or a cold bottle of pop. A sack lunch is what they need." "Well, what time do you need it?" He said, 5:00 this evening. And you know what I said? "Okay." I'm sitting in my office by myself. I don't have a clue. We're going to feed 3,000 people dinner at 5:00. Well, I picked up the phone and called 3 or 4 ladies in my church that I knew were good at this. And I said, "Get on the phone. Call Walmart, call Homeland Grocery Store, Start calling everybody you can. They called Walmart. Walmart said, come down, get anything you need. Go down to Homeland, get anything you need. Tractor Supply said, come by. We'll give you a trailer with some cattle tanks on the back. We'll fill them full of ice, and you can make cold pop containers out of them. Our people started going right and left. We had church that morning. I preached. And when I got done right at 12 o'clock, I said, go home, change your clothes. Everybody back here in the fellowship hall at 1 o'clock. We got sandwiches to make. And I mean, we put tables together and started assembly lines, and we're making sandwiches and bags of chips and bagging them up, and cold pops getting ice down on our trailers, pulling behind our vans. 5 o'clock, we pulled up to the roadblock. And the state trooper, sorry, you can't go through. I said, no, we brought your dinner tonight. We gave the state troopers a bag lunch, and they pulled their cars back, and we went up and down the destroyed streets of Fritch, Texas, and those people came out, many with tears in their eyes, and they saw Gateway Baptist Church on the side of those vans, and we fed Fritch, Texas that night at 5 o'clock. Isn't that great? I called the commander and said, boy, I'm sure glad we could help. Well, Brother Kent, wait a minute. Do you think you could fix dinner tomorrow night? I'm like, what do you want tomorrow night? We can't feed them a sandwich. They need some hot food, beans and cornbread, stew, pizza, anything. What do I say? Okay. I called and told the people that night, everybody back to the church at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we started cooking pots of beans and stew, and Pizza Hut started making pizzas, and people started making brownies. And I can't say enough good things about Walmart, and because they were just come down, get anything. Just go in there with a shopping cart and get what you need. Don't worry about it. You know what? That summer, Fritch rebuilt. They had a big picnic. They had a big stage. And they brought me up on the platform, and they gave our church a huge award. Thank you for feeding Fritch, Texas for 2 days during the tornado. And you know, through that, we saw the chief of police come to know Christ and join our church. And you know what? We stood around at that picnic. We're having a good day. But you know what? We had a good day that day we fed Fritch, Texas. We had a good day the day afterwards. Why? If you want to have a good day, do something good. Find something good and do it. And you know what? You're going to have a good day. You're going to have a good day. Thirdly, or fourthly, and I'm done. Look at verse 11, the last part. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You want to have a good day? Seek peace. Now, let me clarify this, because some people misunderstand this verse. This does not mean become a peacemaker. You want to have a really bad day? Get between two people that are fussing. You're going to have a bad, bad day. That's not what this verse means. It does not mean become a peacemaker. No. This verse means make wrongs right. You got something wrong with somebody else? You're not going to have a good day till you make it right. This is when Christianity really gets real. This is when the rubber meets the road. Because everybody's got some wrongs in our past. You lost your temper at the grocery store, cussed out the checker. You need to go back down there and find her. And you need to make that right. you sold somebody a car, and you knew the transmission was bad, but you lied to them, you need to go make that right. You talked behind the preacher's back and stabbed him in the back. You knew you were wrong. You need to go to the people you said it to, and you need to go to this preacher and make it right. You're not going to have a good day as long as you got wrongs in your life. And they will come back to haunt you. I heard a story one day of a real estate man in the Houston area. He'd got wind that they were going to build a huge shopping mall in this one area of Houston. And lo and behold, the next day a man called, and he owns a big chunk of that property, and said, "Hey, I need to move to Atlanta, Georgia. I own this property, and I need to sell it quick, and I need to go to Atlanta." Well, the real estate man knew this was property where the mall was going to be buying. And instead of telling him that, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Since you're going to move quickly, I'll just buy it from you. And then I'll just sell it later. Would you do that for me?" "Oh, yeah. I'll be happy to do that for you." Paid him a low dollar price for the acreage. Turned around within 6 months and sold it for 10 times what he paid for. And then he got saved. And it eat that real estate man. "I cheated that guy." So he said, "I didn't know how to get a hold of him, so I just got on the phone book in Atlanta and started looking for names. And I called two or three, and finally I called and said, 'You know, did you own property in Houston?' And, 'Well, yeah, hi, how you doing? Oh, that was so good of you. You got me out of town. I tell you what a blessing that was. I'm. What are you calling for?'" And he began to tell this man that about the mall and how I cheated you. And he said the phone line just went silent. All of a sudden, the man in Atlanta said, "It's tough when the Spirit of God gets hold of your heart, isn't it?" And the guy said, "Yes, it is." And that man said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what. I appreciate you calling, but you helped me get out of Houston, and I don't expect anything in return. But thank you for calling and making it right." And you know what? That guy said, "Then I could have a good day because I made it right." And every one of you right now as I'm speaking can think of something in your life where you've done somebody wrong. You need to fix it. Because until you do, you're not going to have good days. Don't just survive life. Love life. Enjoy life. Don't just endure it. Got a short time here. Let's have good days. How do we do it? Watch your pie hole. Hate that which is evil. Do something good. And fix any wrongs that need to be fixed. And you're going to have good days. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together this morning. And I pray, Lord, that this message would be received in the spirit it was given to be a blessing. And Lord, we're giving you the next 4 days. We're wanting you to do something good here at Lighthouse. And I pray, Lord, you'd already begin to deal in hearts even now. We love you, and we're so thankful you're our God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.